What's going on, everyone? Welcome to River City 93, brought to you by Roughneck Scars, Icarus FC, and For the Culture. This is your host, Elliot Barr, and joining me as always is my good man,
Shanier Duran II.
And this is unusual.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be recording this show live in front of a lot of drunk Kickers fans. We were supposed to have beer in our hands at Bingo after I probably got humiliated at the front office versus Red Army game. I guaranteed I was going to slide tackle somebody just for the hell of it.
Yeah, just because.
It was going to happen. So instead of recording it at Bingo, we are recording this at my home office. Because, you know, quarantines and stuff, I think that's how it works. You have to only be around people that, in small groups.
What is it, 3 feet?
Yeah, yeah. But today's episode, we're going to be talking about the schedule. Well, the schedule that we thought was going to happen. Roster additions, things of that nature. So, as always, sit back, get back, and enjoy. But talking about the schedule, well, not even talking about the schedule, talking about this whole situation. On a very serious note, there is a lot of fear, there is a lot of panic going around. We totally understand it, we totally get it. It's the fear and the unknown. None of us know what this is going to happen.
Yeah.
None of us know how this got started. Some people deal with it in different ways. Some people deal with it in laughter. Some people deal with it in buying 60 rolls of toilet paper. But whatever happens, I think we all just need to, be remindful of the people in our life that this may affect the most. Reach out to those that are very concerned about this. I think, like, for me, for instance, I've reached out to Charles and Scott Lewis. I know you reached out to people.
Yeah.
Even when school got closed here, I know that I'm good, like, financially wise, because I know someone's going to get paid and everything. But, I reached out to you immediately. It was like, yo, how is this going to affect you?
Yeah. I feel is the biggest issue that a lot of people are dealing with is the financial ramifications of this. It's basically, what am I going to do to put food on the table? Because regardless of whether there's something going on out there, mortgage is still due, rent is still due, yeah. Bills are still due.
Yeah, it's still due. At the end of the day. And it's a real thing that some people have to worry about. It's a real thing that, we have to think about. So like we said, it's scary. It is nerve-wracking. It's okay to have those fears. If you have them, talk to someone that you trust. Get the facts. Get the correct information. Obviously, I think our moms have both probably told us, wash your butt, wash your hands, things like that.
Yeah.
Stay safe, and please, 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 I cannot stress this more than enough, but if the CDC is telling us, hey, look, social distancing, don't put yourself in unnecessary situations,
mm-hmm.
just, follow along. Yeah. It's for a reason, they're trying to, no one knows. I talked to a couple of my alpha brothers that are doctors, and they were just none of us really know. We all have our guess, we all have our little conspiracy theories, but, be smart in this situation. Yeah. So
I mean, the basic thing is that there's no autoimmunity to this. This is such a new thing. The human body doesn't have an immunity to this thing. And that's why it's going around so rampantly. There's nobody who's immune to this.
Yeah,
it's going to hit you if it gets in contact with you. Yeah. And that's why everyone needs to make sure they stay safe.
Yeah. And I will say this. This is not soccer related, but it took coronavirus to get Vince Carter to retire from the NBA. That's all I'm saying. It took that to get Vince Carter to retire from the NBA.
He should have been hanging them sneakers up a long time ago.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. When I found out he was playing in Atlanta, I was like, wait, he's still around? Thought he was gone. We got rid of this situation. Without that being said, we're going to dive right into this possible schedule. So what was supposed to happen, for those of all know that follow us on social media, by the way, follow us on social media, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter. It's RiverCity93, it's the same hashtag. By the way, if you're listening, go on, give us a like, review, and subscribe. on your favorite podcatcher. It helps us out. And who knows? We might possibly start reading off some of the good reviews that we get. It'd be great. Yeah, we were doing the countdown and everything. I think we got on today 17. And right now, it's just the, you know, two black guys with the shoulder shrug. Like, hey, we don't know when the Henry Derby is going to be.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be March 28th. It was supposed to be forward Madison. I think there was a real excitement around the game.
There was. There was. I know I was excited.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're going to get a little bit later into what our team predictions are going to be and what they would have been. But I think right now with the league closing down, Jeff Reuter just put out a tweet about how CDC is asking most leagues or most big gatherings to close down for 8 weeks. So I think MLS is going to push back because I think they were supposed to come back today for training, but I think they're going to push back another week. Honestly, and I'm going to read the tweet to you right now. We'll also put it on our links below. Don't be surprised. This is from Jeff Reuter. Don't be surprised if the league soon adjusts their suspension timelines to the 8-week CDC guideline. The USL is actively communicating with clubs and other stakeholders per sources. There should be updates on both Championship and League One soon. As far as for MLS, clubs will be suspending training throughout at least Friday. Multiple sources tell The Athletic the league previously announced a pause through today. So I think what's going to happen for USL League One, I think we're going to start it back up in May. Because I don't see no way we come back in April. And this is just me. I think you're going to have to give teams at least a preseason game or two.
Yeah, because if they're going to be going no practices for a good 2-3 weeks, you're looking at putting a whole bunch of pros
on the field.
Cold turkey, that's going to be injuries galore.
Somebody's pulling the ACL. Someone's pulling something.
If they have a montage of the first week of USL, they may as well put it to let the bodies hit the floor because it's going to be injury after injury.
Cramp. So I think we come back May. I think it works perfectly for USL League One. The championship, I think there are 17 teams in the East and 18 in the West. I might have the numbers mixed up a little bit. So it might be a little bit harder for them. MLS, you know, they're kind of in the same boat. But I think USL League One, I think it works perfectly because you have the right number of teams. Yeah. So I think what will happen is I think they'll get rid of the 3-game series and just go home and away.
Yes.
I think we will get a revised schedule for that situation. Do you think playoffs will change at all?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I think they will be pushing back the end of the season, so I think they wouldn't mind going deep into November.
Yeah, because right now, I think right now the season's technically, if we start in March 28th, I think the season's supposed to end right around October. I think what's going to happen is I think we push it back, and I think the season for us might end mid-November, right? Like, I don't think we hit Thanksgiving break. I think we go to like first.
According to what the schedule says, our last game would have been October 2nd. So that would have given us.
Yeah, so month. I think we end. I think if the season starts May,
probably
I think
would have been in early November.
I think we would have gone in early November.
We might end up with a final in early December, or they might kind of cram them a little more.
Yeah, I think you might cram a little bit more. I mean, right now, all this is speculation. We haven't heard anything, and if we do, we'll make sure to share it with you guys, as we always do. We try to be correct in our reporting, you know, try to be clickbaitish or something.
Yeah.
you know, there's a whole bunch of that going on now.
Yeah.
None of us know. The schedule thing is all going to be mixed up. We are going to have Ira Jersey. I was about to call him Ira Jersey. Did you hear? So, the Who Gives a Who guys. I can't think of the guy's name, but he didn't know how to say Ira Jersey's name. So now he called him Ira.
Ira.
I think it was that. So now every time I see Ira's name, I want to call him Ira for some reason. And I feel like I'm going to call him that. But we're going to have him on the show on Tuesday. We're going to do like a special midweek pod because obviously we don't have games to record.
Yeah.
And he's going to come out here and talk about the finances of the league, how this is going to impact League One teams. I am... glad that the league just went on deciding not to try to play games behind closed doors.
Yeah.
That, you know.
That doesn't really help much.
First of all, no one wants to see pickup soccer.
No.
If I want to see the actors, go watch CBSA. I don't want to watch pickup soccer. It would have been boring. No one wants to watch it. I don't think it's financially smart for clubs like in the USL League One or Championship. I think MLS teams could kind of get away with it while playing behind closed doors if they had to, but it's better just, you know, not knowing the ramifications of what this could have. I think it's better just to shut stuff down.
Yeah, Italian League tried it. I don't think anyone else really did try it. I mean, Europa, I think they tried it.
Yeah, Europa had it. I know Brazil today, Guillermo played a game behind closed doors.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who else. Man United, Europa League's game was behind closed doors.
Arsenal's Europa League game was behind closed doors.
France is behind closed doors. Spain, I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean,
it doesn't work, obviously.
And this is the thing about us being a League One team. We can't play behind closed doors because most of our revenue comes from game day sales.
Exactly.
You know, us selling tickets, us going in this thing and buying beer and things like that. Those clubs get supported through, like, sponsorships or TV money. So, we already got the bulk of that money already there.
Yeah.
They're not really caring about, you know, TV revenue. So, it's smart all around. Yeah. So, how do you think this schedule will play out?
I don't know. I mean, it's like you said, so far, when you look at the Kickers website, the first three games are TBD. And the first game where the schedule is still set is Saturday, April 18th against Greenville.
Yeah.
But that seems a bit soon.
Yeah.
With the way things are going with this virus, it seems a bit soon. With all of the precautions that government is taking, it seems a bit soon. I would say maybe May, beginning of May.
Yeah, I think May is my earliest bet. I did see the tweet from U.S. Soccer about them postponing the U.S. Because what was supposed to happen, the 24th, we were going to watch, me and you together, we were going to watch Virginia United versus
Christos
to see who we played the U.S. Open Cup of the 8th. And, you know, I think this is the most hype I've had for a kicker season in a while, not only because of the new head coach, new players coming in, but just because of how the schedule set up for us.
Exactly.
We had very exciting games. We had Ford. We were going to go to New England, not physically, but the team was going to go to New England. We was going to get to see Joe Rice play. Possibly, I think he would have been the starter.
Yeah, I think he definitely would be the starter.
And then the 8th, we would have came back and we would have had the U.S. Open Cup, which probably would have been a great environment. So it would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, the first three games would have been, you know,
yeah, they all would have been games interesting
already. First off the top, but
you have the schedule, all right.
Yeah.
So who would have been our first five?
Yeah. So after those three, it would have been Greenville, away to Chattanooga.
Oh, that's right, because Chattanooga, we were supposed to open up the stadium with them. Well, yeah, they're a legend stadium that open no one has seen pictures of. I think that's a tax write-off. I honestly don't think they can have a new stadium. I haven't seen any kind of development. I think it's a tax write-off.
Oh, goodness.
Chattanooga ain't filed their taxes yet.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
You would have had Greenville do the best independent team, I would have said, last year.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. They definitely were.
Well,
they were an exciting team to watch.
Yeah, I would say.
I'll give you that, definitely.
They were this year's pick. A lot of people were out here and pick of being the league champion. They were a lot of people's pick. I don't got nothing to do with that.
Now, all I got to say is North Texas is still in this league.
We'll talk. So, okay. For those who don't know, Shanier has like a love of North Texas.
I love hate. Okay.
Need you to remember that half that team ain't there no more. I mean, granted, you still give them the benefit of the doubt. They're the league champs. But Arturo Rodriguez is gone. Pepe's gone. Brett Stevens is gone. Like,
that's true.
Major pieces of that team is gone.
But let's look, for example, at a club like Southampton. They would have gotten relegated if they were a club that didn't have a youth program that was pumping in players.
I mean, they
because
are
every year they get raped.
Okay,
every year they get they. I mean, Liverpool comes in and takes half their squad.
Yes, they get raped out of their players. But yeah, all right. So back to what we were saying. The way how the schedule set up was very exciting for us, and I think we didn't run into that problem last year where we played Lansing 3 times out of the first seven games. That was the big. And then we couldn't. And then, you know, we just kind of went down from there. So it would have been exciting to see. But
the schedule seems a little more. It's more spread out. It's more well done this season. You don't have teams that are like you said, like with us having within the first 3-4 weeks, we played Lansing.
And you don't get to play them again.
And you don't play them again for the rest of the season.
So there's no real precedent on how this is going to be done.
Yeah.
If we're just going to pick off from there and they just be like, hey, you play the rest of the games and we go from there. Because I think that's the lazy approach. Wherever the league does start off, they just be like, all right, you start playing against March 13th in the games that you didn't play before that. They don't count, but then, you know.
I don't think they would be able to do that because, like you said, USL League One teams make their money off of ticket sales.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, we just start wherever weekend we start, that's where game pick up. Like, they don't redo the schedule. So it's not like how we would play everyone twice. They would
have to redo their budget, though.
Yeah.
With regards to, or at least their projected budget. Because if they're looking at the season and you cut 3 games out or 5 games out, I would say, you're looking at some serious cutbacks in terms of financial situation.
That is very true. So before we get into the roster breakdown, we're going to talk about these kids. And let me just say this right now. One, Nate got to fight me. Patrick got to fight me. Because there ain't no way. I've been asking for jersey leaks. Something. I needed something. And this white kit, this is the best white kit we've had in a long time.
Oh, without a doubt.
This is the
without
best
white a doubt.
Kit we've had in a while.
That kit is nice.
I do have one small problem. One, the red kit, I needed a poppable collar.
Yeah, that collar looks a little. It's like they held back. They held back a little too much on that collar.
It's a little thick. Like not thick, thick. Like you gotta get that in there. That's a little in there. Like that. But I ain't gonna lie. Like the jerseys look dope. The goalkeeper jerseys. Yeah. I would like to see them.
I don't think they really changed it too much.
They didn't, but I would have liked to see a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look out. I mean, to be honest with you, I think the kit that should have gotten the most work done on it was the goalkeeper kit because Akira stood on his head half the games of last season.
Yeah.
I mean, he deserves to be decked out in a super fly kit.
That's the only one. But the red jersey, I mean, it looks great. I like the sleeves. The collar is thick. Outside of that, I mean, we got a new jersey sponsor. There's Absolute Stone Design. So no more wood fin.
Yeah, I heard that they...
We got Bon Secours in the back. And I think we got Elephant Auto Insurance on one sleeve, I think.
I believe so.
So we got 3 new sponsors. So the front office is doing their job.
Bon Secours has been there, so it's 2 new sponsors.
2 new?
Yeah, Bon Secours has been there because we know we got. Remember?
Oh
we
yeah,
got
the health insurance. Well, the health insurance not being on the jersey.
Oh, with it being on the jersey.
The jersey being on the jersey.
Yeah.
But the white kit, man.
The white kit.
It's smooth.
Oh.
I want 2 things need to happen. That jersey needs to be played with white red pants, like red shorts.
Oh yes.
I need red shorts with that.
Red shorts. You can do the white socks. Because I know the socks, that's one of the biggest issues with refs in terms of, especially the ARs, when that ball goes out of bounds.
Or hear me out on this, give me the red and white socks. Like the red and white candy cane socks with that jewelry, with those jerseys and red pants. You can't tell me that won't be dope. You can't tell
that
me
works.
That won't be dope.
That works. I was just saying you can't go all red socks. Because if we could play against a team where their home kit has red socks and an AR is looking down the line...
Red.
at that ball going out of bounds, they're looking at legs. And if
everyone's that's their problem. Red, so I could really care less. I would look dumb in the field.
Look, that's their problem until we get a throw in called against us when it should be called for us and it lends into a goal.
It happens all the time. Refs mess up everything. Well, yeah. Just like Patrick. They mess up. That's not a problem. But no, the hype video for it was kind of dope too, though. Because at first when it started, I was like, oh my God, we're about to get some basic jerseys. Like, ugh. And all of a sudden I saw it, I was like, Wait, look pretty.
Yeah, no, they are definitely official. Those kids look nice.
Okay, so I guess 1 out of 10, would you get the red jersey?
I'll give the red jersey, I'd give it an 8.
Give it an 8?
8 out of 10.
I'll give it a 7. I feel like there could have been more done. That collar
is amazing.
Don't get me wrong, the collar is dope, but it's
that took the collar took like 1.5 points off of me. So
that collar, I feel like I could just take that collar off and use it as a napkin somewhere. The goalkeeper jersey for me, I'm giving it a 3. It's not spectacular. It's I feel like a regular Adidas shirt. They just put the Kickers logo on there, and it was like, hey,
yeah,
wear this. The white jersey, I'm giving that a 9.
Me too. I'm giving that a 9, definitely. Yeah. That is a nice...
I'm more 8, 9-ish. The only reason why is because I don't think the stripes go all the way around. No, so it's not a complete hoop.
No, it's not.
I would have liked to see that. Someone also mentioned how they would like to see like a stash. Like River Plate, how they have like the one stash.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been dope to see. Do you think that white jersey, that white and red one, works with black and red shorts?
The white jersey? I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
I just saw it for a second. When I mentioned River, I started thinking about how that jersey look right. But that was just me. So on to USL news, for instance. We already alluded to it. Chattanooga is finally getting a new stadium. It's going to be called the Shaw Memorial Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any pictures. I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard ground.
Anything about
that. I think the last thing I heard before all this virus stuff broke out was they weren't going to be prepared for the U.S. Open Cup game, so I think they were still going to be playing at the same where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we hear more news about it, I'm pretty sure y'all will see it on Twitter like we see it. New teams coming into the league. We have High Point that's being rumored. They're about a 3.5-hour drive from Richmond as Nate Reynolds. He was supposed to be on the show with us. Last we talked to him, he said he wasn't feeling super well. Nothing virus related. This is way before all that, you know. So we just hope the best for Nate. I'm pretty sure Nate gonna be listening to this. By the way, go check out his articles. They are super great.
Yeah.
Super fantastic. But Nate pointed out it was 3.5-hour drive from Richmond. That probably would have been like our closest rival because I think outside is Greenville at 5 hours. So that would have been kind of interesting. But, I mean, do you think a team at High Point would have worked? A League One team would have worked. I'm pretty sure of it.
At High Point?
Yeah.
I think so. Would have worked. I think so.
I'm not too familiar with High Point of like terms of like how they would have like who like is High Point a big enough town for a League One team, or would they would have been a team that's like where the hub stage for like multiple cities to come to? I don't know how that would have worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it, I do feel that we are kind of on an island. And I think most teams in USL League One are that way. And that's why the expansions are going the way they are to kind of connect the teams a little bit more.
I think what's going to happen is I think you're going to get more teams going out west first to try
to fill in.
Yeah, Midwest. I feel super bad for FC Tucson.
FC Tucson, they are out there on their own.
But like
nobody's near them.
No one's near them.
And they're the farthest west team. Right?
They are. So. They are. Another rumor that we saw was Fort Wayne, Indiana was possibly looking to get a team. And do you know who started that rumor? I'm going to see if you've been paying attention.
No, I do not know who started the rumor.
All right. So I'm going to give you a hint. Former U.S. international. And he's black.
How far are we talking?
Okay. He just recently retired, maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Played for Pachuca. and the Houston Dynamo. Played at Rangers.
Oh, the dude who never ages. He never aged. Look, man, DeMarcus Beasley never aged.
If there was a photo of Black Doesn't Crack, it's DeMarcus Beasley. That's him.
I remember seeing a picture of him, and I was like, he hasn't changed at all from... And I remember... He's been a big name in U.S. soccer for a very, very long time.
So, you want to know something hilarious? DeMarcus Beasley actually passes the mom test. And for those who don't know what the mom test is, you're famous depending on whether or not my mom knows you. Like, LeBron James is famous. My mom knows him. Giannis Antetokounmpo is not famous because my mom doesn't know him. My mom knows DeMarcus Beasley. So I'm like, okay. Mom's a little hip. So he's from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and they believe they get a League One team. It would have been super dope if, you know, Lansing was still there, because you would have had Lansing, possibly Fort Wayne, and Madison would have had, like, their own trifecta right there. Yeah. That would have been great. Unfortunately, Lansing had Dickerson, owner, Tom Dixon was the owner, that dickhead. he was the owner, and he decided not to keep the team. Which I also think, this is my own conspiracy theory, I think that delayed kind of like the roster coming out, because I think they expected Lansing to still be in.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this year we got the 16 playoff. I think they kept it just because they were like, well, we're not going to penalize the rest of the league. Because I think it was supposed to be 13 teams.
Yeah.
And you take half, you know. But kind of with 12, so you take a half anyway. But that's my own thoughts. Yeah, so we got that. We were supposed to be doing an interview with the League One VIP. That's kind of been held off on hiatus because I think with all the stuff going on, I don't think they really want to talk to family and podcast. So. And also, the biggest thing was the stadium lights the Kickers just got. They kind of made a big deal about it.
For those rightfully so. Rightfully so. Yeah.
And for those who haven't seen it, we put it out on our socials. The lights were dope. Like, for those who've been in City Stadium, I don't think we really care that much about the lights because we were just like, it's like...
We can see.
Yeah. It's not too dark. I can make out people. I can make out shapes. Not like the fog. The fogging was hilarious, though.
That was interesting.
So, we put it out on our social media. We were kind of, like, making our own tweets about, like, who was scoring what. We were like, goal is scored by someone in red, passed by someone in red, shot past someone in purple. We can't tell who. But the license things were fine, but they've been there for a while. Like, I think the last time that stadium had an upgrade was the NCAA championship that was here, I think in 94? Was it 94?
I don't know.
I want to say, I think that's the last time they had an upgrade.
I wasn't in Richmond yet.
Yeah. I was still crawling around the south side of Richmond. But, I mean, for those who want to know how old City Stadium is, that's where U of R first started playing football at.
Yeah.
And that stadium still looks the same in those photos then. Actually, my mom, for instance, got named prom queen at that stadium in 1970.
Nice.
Yeah. So, it's like, that's how old that stadium is. So, there hasn't been that many major upgrades out there. But I think the thing about it is with this work the Kickers have been doing, and this is all part of the lease that they got, the 40-year lease, and you can kind of see the upgrades that they're doing. The concourse, I think when I saw it, that kind of leveled out and smooth, so you don't have the gravel. So if people don't wear flip-flops, you don't have to have a rock stuck in your flip-flop.
Yeah. I'm glad they got rid of that because that was... That was...
I think most of the wiring now is now underground, under that. But the lights, oh my God, yo. I'm just now imagining night games there when them lights would have been like flashing.
Goodness. So for those of you that don't know, not only did they change all the floodlights, but they added to it. They added some red lights to it. So, I don't know exactly how they're going to be used, but the first thing I imagined in my head was when the teams are coming out, they kill the floodlights and only red lights. And the kickers come out to red lights, line up to red lights. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. What would have been the intro song? Like, do you think we would have had, like, an intro song?
I don't know. We need to find... I don't know. And that's the thing with the kickers. I can't associate a song with them. Like...
Well, that's a lot of things you can associate with the kickers. Like, if you ask anyone, be like, hey, describe what a kicker is. People be like, wait, what? Like, I think Alecta asked me, and I was truly, like, dumbfounded. She was like, how did y'all get kickeroo? And I was like... You got me there, Chuck.
I don't know.
You got me there.
I don't know. Because, like, I mean, for me, growing up, shipping up to Boston.
Like, you being a husband, have you ever been in that situation where your wife asks you something, and it's like, you get initially angry, you're just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That was my initial response. Like,
I don't know.
I'm disgusted by that question. I don't know.
Yeah, it's.
But I think it would have been dope to see those lights, especially if they would have been like how they flash. Because we were mentioning earlier how Wolfsburg and Gladbach, when they score, I think one of the lights go like green, but it's like flashing. I would have been like, yo, that would have been so dope.
Yeah. No, that would be insane. That would definitely be insane. Yeah. I'd love it.
It would have been dope.
That's. But hey, I mean. That's adding to the experience at City Stadium. And because the experience is being added at City Stadium, I think that's going to draw in so many more people. They're changing the way the stands look. I was over by the stadium yesterday, and they are doing a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, talk about the thing you did yesterday.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I guess we'll see when that comes out, but...
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But, yeah, yesterday I was part of a commercial shoot for the Richmond Kickers. Yeah. So, it was a lot of fun. Got to do a few shots at City Stadium, Carytown, Shaco Bottom... I think we ended at Penny Lane.
Oh, right.
So
okay, yeah.
Looks like it's gonna be good. I mean, the guys were really professional. They were trying to get.
Let's hope they weren't just randoms taking pictures of you. That would have been awkward.
No, it's footage. Like, and they're gonna put everything in like theatrical slow mo. So it's gonna be nice. All
right.
Yeah,
that would have been dope. Okay, so we already talked about jerseys. Forgot jerseys and also Chattanooga. Chattanooga jerseys to me, I don't know if you saw them yet.
No.
I don't really see a big difference. They kind of look the same to me. I think the only difference is I think the white jersey, instead of having like the red sleeves on the away kit, I think they just went plain white, but they... It's not another thing.
Who, Chattanooga?
Yeah, Chattanooga Red Bulls. Not Chattanooga FC. We're not trying to have, you know, all that smoke. Yeah. I don't really see any big difference
on that. Yeah, that kit, it's it's an Adidas kit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what you can say. The home jersey looks nice. I like the fade from the darker red up to kind of getting to a regular red at the bottom, but...
I don't see anything.
The white kit is just a white kit with the black Adidas stripes.
Yeah, I don't see anything too special. And then Foreign Madison just released their kit on Saturday. I ain't gonna lie, the kit looks nice. That's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah. 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 I mean, I think what the most important thing is the way how the supporters up there kind of did it. I think they're getting $5 back to a charitable cause.
Yes.
So if you buy the jersey, $5 go to that charitable cause that helps the community.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I would love to see the kickers do.
Yeah.
Let them, you know, be more involved. If we get more into these more, like, experimental kits and designing kits stuff. But for a jersey, it looks nice. It would have been, you know, cool to see that jersey versus that red one on opening day. It would have been dope.
Oh, that would have been nice.
So, yeah. So, we can get to the real meat and potatoes. I know we probably talked about, like, 30 minutes about that stuff. But,
yeah.
Now, we're going to talk about the Richmond Kickers updated roster. So, here are the players that are returning. First and foremost, you have Akira Fitzgerald, who was the goalkeeper of the year finalist. He has 73 saves and 8 clean sheets. You also have Matt Broomhall, the yoga master. He's back. Wahab Akwe.
Wait, Broomhall? Yeah. Don't we call him
the broom?
Huh?
I call him the broom.
Look, what's that character in Star Wars?
I don't know Star Wars. You lost me.
Something 3PO.
You are really about to call this man C-3PO?
C-3PO. They said because he's so mechanical with the way he.
You can send all aggressive tweets to C-Deuce. Just letting y'all know that. Also, don't tweet at me if I not know Star Wars. I didn't pay attention to Star Wars growing up.
Me neither. That's why I didn't even know.
But I ain't gonna lie, I want the video game, but I don't know Star Wars at all. So let's go back to the defender. Defender, we have Akwe, top 10 in passes made with 1,400. He was all-league second team. Ivan Magalhães, Connor Shanowski, and Scott Thompson. Midfield, we have Amaz, Luke Pavone, Greg, and Matt Bolduc. Matt finished top 4 in assists in the league with 6. Riley Kraft and Mwape. And 4, we brought back Charles Boateng from alone. I don't know if it's a permanent deal. We really couldn't find any information.
I think it's still alone.
I think it's still
from
alone.
From what I've seen.
As well.
From that Ghanaian club. Yeah.
So, with the players leaving the first transfer deal in Richmond Kickers history, we have Joe Gallardo, who went to the Real Monarchs for $7,000. I think there are add-ons as far as what those add-ons are. I have to assume there's a sell-on clause. I would have to assume there is a sell-on clause. Or if,
I would hope so.
Something attached, like if he plays X number of games, if he plays in the playoffs, if he plays for the first team, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He did not, however, play in the first game with Real Monarchs. He didn't play in that one. So it'd be whenever he plays, whenever he starts, we'll be rooting for him. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Joe Gallardo was a good servant to the club last year.
Oh.
He was by far and away our best player on the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Some really good memories of some of his goals and stuff. He was fantastic. Yeah. So,
like my favorite moment from last year is the Messi-esque goal where he walked through all of South Georgia's defense. that was
the top one. The second one for me was the one where he did that quick 180 turn. He was heading towards midfield. Looked like he was going to pass it back to I think Bolduc. And he
against Chad. Was it Chad? No, Tucson.
Against Tucson. He just did a 180 just with one move, turned around, and took 3 players out of the game and just ripped the shot by the corner. It was just the way he turned. It was like FIFA. It was crazy.
It was sick. Daniel Jackson moves to South Georgia Tormenta for free. Eli Lockerbie moves to the Evil Empire in Wisconsin on a free.
Yeah.
Sam Moore and Keyway, they're down in USC. Justin Grove is actually back with us in preseason. We didn't know that at the time, but going to preseason, we were like, Justin?
Yeah.
You're back?
Yeah. So, I wasn't sure. I didn't really hear anything about it, Justin, and then we saw him at the preseason game. I said, okay.
Well, oh.
So.
Hey, buddy.
Still here. Good. Because I think Justin Grove gives you that
experience and
calmness in the midfield.
Yeah. It would be great. I hope he actually gets some games.
Yeah. Because
you know,
I remember last year he only had like one game.
Yeah.
At that.
And then Joe Rice, as Nate alluded, moved up to New England Revs 2. I don't know if that he's just strictly with the Revs 2 or if it's kind of like the Joey Gallardo deal where he's part of the rest. He'll move up to the first team and get first team minutes when it happens. We talked to Richmond's goalkeeper coach, and the name is not eluding me.
Adrian Clue.
Yeah, we talked to him actually at Benny's birthday party, which is funny.
Yeah, he was over there at my son's birthday party.
Cool. Yeah, for those who don't know, Benny is the unofficial official mascot of this podcast.
Yeah.
So we was at his birthday party because, you know, I'm a godfather and Shanair's dad. He can claim all the taxes. I can't. And we were just asking him, like, you know, how to play his play in the prison. And we got the topic of Joe Rice. And he was just saying, you know, he's really impressed with Joe Rice. He kind of, from what I understand, he forced him to make the move.
Yeah, he definitely encouraged him to make the move. Basically saying that Joe Rice was good, very good. But there's no way he was pushing Akira off that first team spot.
Yeah.
I think Adrian was basically saying that Joe Rice deserves to have a first team spot somewhere. And so he really encouraged him to go to New England Revolution 2 so he could have that those first team minutes.
Yeah, and I also think it was basis. And it's good to see when you have a coach, like, regardless of team, that he's looking for the player first.
Exactly.
Could have been a thing where it's like, well, I developed you, I want you to stay here, I want you to keep working with me, and Joe Rice never meets that peak.
Yeah.
And Joe played in Lions Bridge. He's played here in Richmond. I think he's even from the state of Virginia. So he's really, his whole playing career is here. And I think the fact that he encouraged him, like, hey, look, you have a great skill set. Go take it out there and challenge them. If you believe that you're this great goalkeeper, go do it. And I think about it in terms of where, like, and I don't want to be so European faced, but it's a good basis of it, where you're starting to see more young English players start making the move to Germany to go get playing time, to go test themselves in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Look at the likes of Jordan Sancho. I think before that you had, I can't think of his name, but he was at West Ham and he moved to Gladbach to play. Adama Luthman went from Everton to Leipzig. The likes of those players are starting to go. And I think this is great for both sides, because I think Chloe pushing Joe to go shows how much he cares about his players and how much he sees potential in them, and knowing, like, hey, look, you might not get a chance here in Richmond. If your dream is the MLS, you might not get that here in Richmond.
Yeah.
Go there, go develop, and become that great goalkeeper. And I think it's great for Joe. Mm-hmm. It would have been great to see him that second weekend. I believe he would have been the starter. Yeah. I know he had the clean sheet against Hartford in one of their preseason games. So that would have been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the ability last year, definitely in the Toronto game, the Lions Bridge game. It would have been, you know, great to see. So we wish him all the best up there. And, you know, Daniel Jackson, Lockerbie, all of them. We wish them the best. Don't play your best against us.
Yeah.
But we wish you the best. So, players that are no longer part of the roster, and trust me, we looked everywhere to try to make sure we were right about this. Zach Perez, Lucas Mendez, Dennis Chan, Alex Inskov, Nick Ratzliff, Maxi Rodriguez, Yannick Ekerode, Josh Hughes, and they also alluded that he's really surprised. I think we're surprised as well that Hughes, Rodriguez, and Inskov didn't land somewhere yet. They're not on the team at all from what we look like. I think Maxi made a tweet about how he wasn't really expecting not to be with the team at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Any surprises to you there? Anyone do you think should have been part of the roster? Or do you, you know...
To be honest with you, the biggest one that stuck out to me with regards to not being on the Kickers roster is Josh Hughes. Okay. Josh Hughes had a lot of minutes last year. Was very consistent. He worked well with Bulldog in the midfield. So I don't know. That was, to me, the biggest shocker. Retzlaff didn't get a lot of playing time, but of what I saw of him, he looked good. So I was a little surprised that they didn't keep him to see more. Alex Ainscough, he was kind of in and out of the squad. We're not sure. And Lucas Mendez, I think one of the biggest issues with him was coming back from the injury. Because, I mean, I remember it was basically roughly around this time last year when he had that devastating injury in preseason that had him out for literally the entire season. I think he played one half in the Lions Bridge game, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see players like that. Zach Perez didn't really get a lot of playing time. Dennis Chin, I think for the same reason why we let go of DJ is for the hype that we got at the beginning of the season, it wasn't backed up throughout the season. At the beginning of the season, we got this idea that we were getting two knockout, lights-out strikers that were going to be pumping in a lot of goals. And I think there was a big disappointment on that. And because of that, I don't know. I just feel like, I guess when the new regime came, they said, you're not good enough.
I think also age, because I think Chin is pushing 30. Well, I know he's past 30. Yeah, I think more 31, 32. And I think we also saw the downside, but I think we kind of saw Chin kind of slower down a little bit more. You definitely saw Boateng getting more games in, things like that. So, you know, we hope the best for Chin. I would love to see. Do you think Chin gets picked up mid-season by someone?
I can see him getting picked up by somebody because he has... Chin has an aggression to him that fits with the way the game has evolved now.
Yeah.
It's evolved to the point now where you can't have a striker that's just there to be a striker.
Yeah.
You need a striker that can press, that can get in defenders' faces when the ball gets passed to them, or just take a sprinting madman run at the goalie when the ball gets passed back to the goalie. Yeah. And I think Dennis Chin still has that grit, has that fire that he can bring to a lot of teams.
Yeah. And I also think that, I think Chin now is a great player that you can sum on at the 65th minute mark and be like, hey, look, I need you to go attack. And go put pressure on someone. I think the 90 minute stretch
is not for him.
I don't think that's there anymore. I think if you can convince Chin, like if Chin gets signed midseason and you're just telling me, hey, look, I need you to play 25 minutes a game for me, I think you are getting the most out of Dennis Chin.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of players nowadays, and especially here in the U.S. nowadays, players don't want that, but we need to remember that one of USA's most star-studded players was a late-game sub on Kobe Jones.
Yeah.
You throw him on at the end of the game, run at tired defense, and he'd annoy the crap out of any defensive line at the end of the game, and he caused a lot of turnarounds in score for the USA.
So out of this list of players, is there anyone that you think either gets re-signed back to the Kickers? I guess we could go through the list and we could say whether or not we think they get re-signed with the Kickers or someone else. Mm-hmm. So Zach Perez, you think he gets re-signed with the Kickers or someone else? Or not at all?
With him, I have no idea. I have not seen enough.
Okay.
With him.
For me, I think possibly NESA. I think someone around that. Maybe NPSL, UPSL.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think next year you might see him thrown at, like, a League One team at a roster, possibly. Lucas Mendez?
He has the potential, I would say maybe, to get re-signed to another team because I think our head coach has moved on from that situation, so...
For me, I mean, we did an interview with Lucas. Lucas is a great guy. Like, we love
him. He's an awesome guy. Great guy.
But I think... I don't see it. I think maybe UPSL, NPSL again, NISA. I think that's it. I'm not trying to be harsh, but I don't see a League One team making a move for him. Definitely not this year. Maybe next year he tries on somewhere else and then gets added on.
Yeah, and I think like I said before, I think the injury has a lot to do with that because that really, really set him back. But he's got time. At this point, if he drops down to one of those leagues, works hard, makes a name for himself, stays visible, stays in the limelight, he's going back into USL.
Dennis Chin.
Dennis Chin, like we said, I feel that he could definitely, maybe mid-season, a club pick him up to bolster, you know,
I think if Chin wants to be a starter, I think he'll go NAISA, lead to one of those leagues. I think if he wants to play, not be a starter, but play, I think League One Championship. I can see a lower-end championship team side of him.
Mm-hmm.
Either, hey, we just need someone a League One mid-table, lower table side of him. Alex Ainscough.
Ainscough, I can see a League One team taking him. He had some pretty good moments last season in some of the games he did play. He is a solid player.
Mm-hmm.
He has the capability to play on a League One team.
Yeah, I can see League One. I can see League One for him. Nick Radziff.
I think same with him. Because from what I saw of him, towards the end of the season, we started to see him getting played more. And you saw his technical ability was there. The times he did play, he didn't really take any risks. Excuse me. But he was a solid player in terms of his technical ability, his first touch, his game awareness. I do think that he could definitely be taken on by a team to, again, add to depth, probably midway through the season. But if he wants to start, I think USL League 2 or... Yeah, I'd say USL League 2. He could definitely start regularly for USL League 2 team easily.
Yeah, I can definitely see him being a mid-season pickup for someone. I think if he wants to start, I think he'll go lower. Mm-hmm. Maxi Rodriguez.
Maxi... Could play for a USL League One team. It depends on which team, though. And I think Maxi is a very particular type of player and needs a particular system. I'm not sure about especially some of the new teams that came in, like Omaha and Fort Lauderdale. If they have a system that fits him, he could end up being picked up by one of them, maybe mid-season, but... He's a very particular type of player.
So, this is just me. I would not be surprised if we see Maxi with Union Omaha at some point this year. Yeah. It would not surprise me. Because I think he will be a mid-season pickup for a League One team somewhere. Might end up at FC Tucson. Who knows? We mm-hmm. don't know. And none of us know these right predictions. We're making our best guesses.
Yeah.
I think you might see Maxi. Once again, I think if you want to start, maybe NASA, maybe UPSL, maybe NPSL. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to play, I think he will be a midseason pickup for someone. And I think he will find a system that fits him. That's all. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yannick Ekeroth. I didn't mean to cut off just on Maxi like that, but I couldn't think of any more to say.
Yeah.
Yannick Ekeroth.
Ekeroth. I think he could end up at a USL League One team. He has that midfield enforcer aura about him. He's going
to... I went back and watched the four game, the one that we won in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And remember how we were joking about how Yannick... Like, when we scored, how Yannick was trash-talking, like, the Ford supporters.
Mm-hmm.
That 100% confirms to me that Yannick is the guy to talk. He is the trash-talker.
He's the trash-talker. He's not only the trash-talker. He's the enforcer. He was to the Kickers last year what Fellaini was to Everton. Just that guy you put in there to disrupt the midfield of the other team just to... Put himself on some bodies and just put his body on some people and get some physical.
Yeah,
he's that physical enforcer in the midfield, and I do feel that every team needs that. Every team definitely needs someone in the midfield who's gonna knock some players around and let them know they're there.
Yeah,
and so I do feel he could be a midseason pickup. Absolutely.
Yeah, for me, I don't know where. Maybe South Georgia, down there with his brother,
mm-hmm.
is a mid-season pickup. Maybe as a trialist throughout the year, and then if he performs well, they'll sign him. That might work out. Or I know South Georgia has a two team,
mm-hmm.
so maybe they'll put him on the two team, and then like, hey, all right, you perform well with them, now we'll sign you up to the first team.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. Josh Hughes.
Josh Hughes, most definitely, absolutely. I mean, I am surprised he has not been picked up yet.
Yeah. I expect Josh Hughes to be back with the Kickers at some point this year. I expect it.
You expect him to be back?
not expected. Let me not say that. It would not surprise me if Josh, if we get the notification like, hey, we're signing Josh Hughes back for a half season contract. It wouldn't surprise me.
Hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. So, now we're getting into the meat and getting green. I think right now we're almost at an hour. I mean, this is going to be a long podcast. We thank you guys for still listening. So, we're going to be about to talk now about the players that are added. So, once again, we're supposed to have Nate here with us. Nate couldn't be here with us because all our plans got thrown off. So, how do you want to start it? Should we just start it with Nate and then we go one by one? Or how
you want to do it? Let's do that, especially since Nate decided to take Lee. Start with the keeper.
All right. So I'll start off. So Nate had Lee Johnston, went to West Virginia in college, and most recently played for San Antonio. They imagine that he'll be the number two keeper, but no one is challenging Akira for that start.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
He is 6'2 and 27 years old. He has 3 total appearances in his pro career, so not enough there to say for sure what his potential might be compared to Matt Bruno. So from the highlights that I saw that he has the passing range,
mm-hmm.
but once again, 3 games from a goalkeeper, what are you really getting?
Yeah.
You know.
I think with Lee, he has a little bit of both Akira and Brumal. Like you said, he has the passing range. Of course, I wouldn't say as good as Akira, but the fact that he has the passing range as well as the mechanical technical ability that Brumal has.
Yeah.
Brumal has, he showed some of that in some of the preseason games so far. In the game in the fog, he had an amazing save, a ball that changed direction midway to him, and he just got his body around to it. He has those reaction saves, and of course, Matt Brumal has the height. And of course, Lee Johnston, being 6'2", has the height to command his box. But the fact that he has that height to command the box as well as the passing range, I think with him being 27, he could be our next starting goalkeeper after Akira.
So, we're already at the hour. We're going to try to get Zoom past you. Sheesh, we've been talking for a minute. All right. Ian Antley, 27-year-old defender that played at Mercer in college, young center back, added for depth, has not played yet professionally. Expected maybe to see in the U.S. Open Cup with the center backs which we currently have in the roster. Connections with the coach at Seattle Sounders U23 highlight packages has him going to ground a lot, as is nearly every clip. Can see him as a backup fullback as well. I'm just laughing at the fact that he see him going to ground a lot.
I don't think you can judge that as a con, because
it could be a positive.
At this point, Juan Bissaka goes to ground a lot, yet he is ranked as one of the better fullbacks in the Premier League right now.
Yeah, and I think also for what we saw for Ian Antley in preseason, one, definitely the man has jets.
Goodness, he's fast.
Also, the man is. If soccer don't work out for him, he can always go to WrestleMania. Just saying. Always go to WrestleMania.
Yeah, he's big, strong, fast.
He's the one that doesn't skip arm day.
He does not. Yeah. He
throws weights around.
I would say in terms of a player he reminds me of. Of course, nowhere near.
Well, I think you said already, Wamba Soccer. Of course, with him going to ground a lot?
Yes. But with his sheer, just devastating pace, that pace reminds me of Roberto Carlos. Like, just ridiculously fast. Like, this is not human fast. Like,
okay, let me tell you this. I'm not comparing him to Roberto Carlos. If he takes a free kick and bangs it in like Roberto Carlos,
then we can, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just in terms of his pace. No, absolutely. I mean,
I think also the running joke.
More in his locker.
I think the running joke with Ian Antley as well is, because his brother Connor Antley is at Indy 11.
Yeah.
So the running joke right now that League One Unfiltered and others have been saying is, if Connor doesn't play in the 11, is Connor actually going to be playing in Richmond? Or is Ian not playing in Richmond? Is he actually going to be playing in the 11? Like, who's going to be playing who? Like,
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. All right. And the last player they had was Victor Flack. He's the first Richmond United player to sign as a pro contract with the Richmond Kickers. Virginia Beach native, played at the University of Colorado Irvine. I think he transferred from UVA.
Yeah.
I believe he so. This is his first pro contract overall, so it's a bit of an unknown quantity. Played center back at CM in college, seems very attack oriented. Took PKs, free kicks, long range shots in college. Looked to have great size and speed at the midfield option. High potential player for Richmond to continue to develop.
Yeah. Victor Falk definitely has that semi-Swiss Army knife player. He can play in the back. He can play in the mid. He likes to get forward.
He reminds me a lot of, like, Matt Bullock.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you can put him in multiple positions.
And he'll handle that position well.
Yeah, he'll do a good job. He's not going to dominate one position. I don't think you see that at Victor Flack at this age, but I think you could plug him at CM. You could plug him at CDM. You could plug him
as a center back if you need be.
Yeah, maybe, you know, as a right wing, right mid, left mid. Yeah. We saw him at preseason training. I think the only thing that we had a concern with was just sometimes his passing range. Like, he would get fixated on one, like, I have to make this particular pass.
Yeah. And looking for the superstar pass rather than just...
Or not even, like, the superstar pass, or where, like, I think he got his passes confused. Like, in a situation where he could have gone through ball, he lobbed it. Or it was, like, that driven, but he'll, like, try to make the spectacular pass around. So it's, like, he has to just figure out those range of passes.
Yeah, and that's we can contribute to his youth.
Yeah, and speed of the game as well.
Yeah, the speed
I think of that's game. The only concern I had with him. Yeah. But outside of that, I mean, in preseason, he played a good job. So yeah, I didn't mean to laugh at the end of that. That was totally inappropriate. I'm sorry. All right. So I'll let you go first.
Okay.
And I will remind you, Shanir, your wife just texted me and said that, don't stay super long. So don't be spending 5 minutes breaking down Stanley Avez, Stanley, and how he just, you know,
no, I'm starting
does with everything David, great yeah. and does nothing wrong.
I'm starting with David Diosa. David Diosa, could play on that left side as a left mid, left wing, or left back. He's 27 years old. He was born in Colombia, in Medellin, Colombia. He moved to the U.S. when he was 11, and he's lived in New York and in Queens, and he's played for Cosmos ever since he got out of high school. So he didn't even go college in terms of playing. He went straight to Cosmos. He was in the Cosmos Academy youth system. He signed for Cosmos first team. I think it was not too long ago. With David, what I see a lot of is he has that pace to sneak in behind that late run into the box when a cross is made. When you look at his highlight tape, the first one you see is one of those. It's a clear example of how crafty he is, how his timing is perfect in terms of coming into the box late. So he's coming in unmarked.
Yeah.
He has pace. His first touch is very good. He himself can send in some very, very devastating balls. He sends in one of what I call the sniper ball. Those balls that curl in, the keeper can't come out to get it. It curls around the defender. If the keeper comes out to get it, he's in trouble, and it goes right to the striker. He can hit those balls very easily. He also has a good ability to get out of tight places in terms of his dribbling ability. What I hope for is his ability to immediately make a decision of shot or pass between the two.
All
right. After he gets out of trouble. So I'm looking forward to him. He reminds me a little bit of Graham Lasso back in the day.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You ready for who you got? Who? Who you got next?
Emiliano Terzaghi. this guy spent his whole career in Argentina. He played for the most part for Banfield. He was also at Temperley, Boca Unidos, and Belgrano. He has a feistiness about his play. He's 30 years old, so he has the experience. He has a feistiness about his play. And for his size, this guy is strong and can hold off players on the ball. His first touch is amazing. He's a good... He plays more as a center forward, so he's usually the late arrival in the box. He's really good in front of goal, a good opportunist. He reminds me a lot of Fabian Blanco, and a little bit in terms of his dribbling ability and Iniesta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. And your son.
My son.
Your son.
Yo, preseason, this guy really impressed me. Stanley Alves. He's a striker, 23 years old. He's Brazilian. Go figure. and he grew up in Eastern Massachusetts. Go figure again. He went to UMass Lowell. We literally got him straight from UMass Lowell. He was active for 3 years, his junior year. He had an injury that kept him out for the whole season. 51 appearances, 13 goals, which is not bad on a college level. He has a very good eye for goal. His pace is really good. He's got that pace and power. And is able to hold up play if need be. He's good at losing his defenders off the ball because his runs are very, very, very clever. And he also has the ability to send in crosses if he needs to. The player he would remind me of... He's a combination for me, I mean, of Rondon, Solomon Rondon, and Michael Owen. with that pace and just deadliness in front of goal. He scored a very Michael Owen-esque goal in the ODU preseason game.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. All right. So you and I?
Yeah, those were my three. You were the one who had four.
Yeah, I did. I had to cough, my bad. I just want you to know, when I coughed, Shannara just looked at me like he was ready to throw a ball on Lysol. Like, did I tell you that story about how my student threw a Lysol ball at my head?
What?
So I coughed in class, and my student just chucked the Lysol ball at my head. He was like, hey, we don't got time for that. And I was like, I was in that midst of like, boy, you're right. But you're wrong. So I had Kyle Vinder, and you know, Kyle Vinder, I feel like, is my dad. Like, me and Kyle are the same age, but I feel like Kyle is, like, my dad. Like, he's, like, the player on the field I don't want to make mad. So, Kyle came from FC Tucson. Great in the air. I mean, I think he had the most aerial duels won in the league. Mm. Great control with his spacing. Good one-on-one defender. Has a good driven ball in his pocket, meaning that he can be sitting in that center back spot and he can pick out a pass.
Oh, yeah.
And he can drive a ball. You ever seen that ball that splits like two midfielders and just connects to the central midfielder? He has that ball. And he also has a good awareness to clean up. I wouldn't say he's like a sweeper, kind of like that last defender, but he has that ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a natural situation, you want Akwe to kind of be more, that's just because of the pace, and you want Kyle to be the center back on the ball, making those passes and stuff like that, kind of giving him that relationship, allow him to have that ability, and his leadership is amazing.
Yeah.
We did an interview with Kyle, and his leadership is A1. And those who don't follow Kyle on Instagram, Kyle puts a lot of inspirational stuff up. So that's good to see. The only con that I have is sometimes his long balls can be a little lost. Sometimes in air, so he'll do the long ball and they get kind of hung up in air, and you know, how is that gonna portray it? And then side to side speed might be an issue for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much lateral quickness is there in his pocket. So yeah, but he reminds me a lot of Vincent Kompany with the leadership, with the airship ability, things like that. And I think that's what the kickers needed back there. And I mean, he got named our captain, so
yeah.
I think most kicker fans either want Akira, but I think having Kyle there is not a bad pick.
Yeah, I think he's a good pick.
Yeah, not a bad pick.
And what you talking about, those driven passes, that just reminds me of Thiago Silva when he hit those where he get the laces on that ball. And
I haven't seen Tiago Silva do that in a while. He
used to
do
that line drive ball that goes splits off.
He used to pull it off, but I haven't seen it in a while. Next we have is Devonte DeBusey, my man. You know, Black Power.
Yes, yes.
He stayed with it, yo. He stayed with it, yo.
Hey, he's an Oakland boy, man.
Yeah, right. From Oakland, Russi also played at Phoenix Rising. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid of a slide tackle. You talk about someone that is Juan Bissaka-esque, it is him.
Yes.
He is not afraid of a slide. If he had, like, an attribute card, like, you remember how, like, we were kids, we used to play Pokemon, and you know, each Pokemon had like a certain attribute. His attribute is slide tackle.
Yes.
He don't tackle, it's slide tackle. He's taking you out. He has blazing speed. I think in the preseason game, I think it was against High Point, it was one point in the game, he was at right back, and I think I turned my head, I was talking to you, and we looked back, and he's all the way up in Redmond. I'm like, wait, what? Yes. How did he get up there that quick?
And that was one thing that really makes me excited for the season, with him and Ian as fullbacks. Both our fullbacks got ridiculous pace. That's ridiculous.
And I think the key thing is, I think if Devonte can get down the, if he can get the overlapping run, where he makes that overlapping run around either, if I imagine Bodok plays right man or whomever. I think we see him and Bodok on the same side. Mm-hmm. I think if he can get that overlapping run down and Connor can get, not Connor, if Cal could get that long ball over to him, it's a wrap. I don't think anyone's stopping. I think he might honestly be top five fastest players in the league. It would not surprise me. If his peak speed is like 28, 27, it would not surprise me. Like, I would love to see, like, because I know USL is getting to, like, and I'm kind of rambling. USL is getting to this all-star format. Mm-hmm. If they do, like, a 40, He's got to be somewhere up there. He got to be sub 4.4, 4.5. It wouldn't surprise me. The only con to him is his crosses. I think they're a little bit work. They're not there.
Yeah. They need a little work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like he doesn't know in a certain situation, should I go the low driven cross? Should I go just the high over looping cross? Mm-hmm. And I think he's running so fast, his body isn't able to keep up with what his legs are doing. His mind isn't able to keep up with what his legs are doing.
Yeah. And if you want to hit a pinpoint cross, you have to slow down.
Yeah.
You have to slow that run down to be able to get the right foot on the ball.
So that's my only thing. But he reminds me a lot of DeAndre Yedlin.
Yes.
He reminds me a lot of DeAndre Yedlin.
Power
where I think in certain situations, don't be surprised if, since him and Bodok are on the same side, if Bodok actually drops back to right back and then he takes over that right mid spot for maybe like 5 or so minutes just to switch up.
I think we would see that later on in the season when they get more used to playing with each other and they start to understand each other like fully.
Yeah. So next I have this Gianluca, I'm going to pray on his last name.
Cuomo.
Cuomo?
Yeah.
I feel like that's, I don't know why, maybe I'm hungry, but that sounds like an ice cream commercial. Like, do you want a Cuomo bar? but he is from Marta FC over there in Malta, but he played here in the States at San Antonio FC. Mm-hmm. He's more of a deeper line playing CDM. He's looking for that diagonal ball a lot. I think that was something that frustrated you personally in preseason, where you were like, why is he always looking for that diagonal ball? he pushes up in the space when it's there. So if the space is not there, do not expect him to go into space.
No.
When I mean deeper line, it's almost at certain points in his highlight package. By the way, I got a bone to pick with you. You did not mention Stanley Alves highlight music.
Oh, I did not. Oh, yes. No, that highlight. Woo.
We would talk about that afterwards. But in his highlights, there were certain videos where he was so far back, I actually thought that he was a center back.
Sometimes he'll drop right in between those centers.
And I was like, is he a center back?
Yeah.
But he's that. He has the good side-to-sideline speed. Mm-hmm. So where, like, Kyle, I'm kind of concerned about sideline quickness. He has the ability to clean that up. Mm-hmm. I don't like what we saw from Torrey, like that sound of ability to get there to the spot, get there before his man.
Yeah.
Physicality, I am a little bit worried about because he can get a little too physical.
Yeah.
So that's my only concern with him.
Yeah, I could see a little bit. Make sure that, you know,
don't keeps control don't, of himself. Yeah. And he's good in the air. My only con would be he is flat footed sometimes on defense. So what I mean, like that sideline ability, I think he's the player that sits there and assesses the situation, mm-hmm. almost like we've seen from like, I would say almost like Sergio Busquets mm-hmm. in a sense where like Sergio, he'll look at the situation and be like, eh, I'm not about to make this run. I'm not about to
do that. That's going to be a waste of my time.
Yeah, I'm not about to do that. So that's my only thing with him. And then Mbai, I forgot to write down his last name. I just
Kwesele.
Yeah. I forgot to write down his last name for some reason. But his highlight tape, and there were multiple of them, and he stayed looking for that one touch deep ball. He is another deep line CDM. Mm-hmm. We saw that a lot. What he'll do is receive the ball and then he'll make like a wide turn, either left or right, and then he'll just kick it long. Yeah. And just get play started off the field. And I think we kind of saw him getting more, just him having more passes in his pocket. Because I think Darren told him, was like, hey, look, don't keep looking for that long ball. Work on the intermediate short passes. I think that's the con of his game, is he doesn't have a various of passes. I don't think he has more passes than just that one touch deep long ball. Yeah. But that deep touch long ball is dangerous for him.
It is.
There are multiple tapes in his highlight film where he was able to one touch it. And it was one where he literally got it in like the middle of the center circle, made a turn, kicked it to the left side, like just one time, pinged it, and then let it right on the guy's shoe. Like,
yeah.
he has that ability, and he looks so good. He's also comfortable as a center back as well. So mm-hmm. I don't be surprised if, and you know Akwe is, Akwe, well, he does it at least once every three games. He'll make a run.
He'll make a run. He'll just take off.
Yeah.
And you'll have Mumbai to drop
in. Yeah, just right there to drop in for him. So don't be surprised if that happens. And he stayed looking for the switch of play. We saw that a lot. And his passes were, and what I mean, like he'll get that ball in the middle of the park and he'll just turn left and just, he'll kick it out to the right back or he'll kick it out to the left back. And he's not looking to, I think he'll have the majority of his passes will be those side-to-side passes. He's not, if it's long, it's going to be a diagonal long. But don't expect him to thread the needle. That's not him.
No, from he's me, not going to.
I don't expect that from him. But he reminds me a lot of a Michael Bradley now.
Yeah.
He reminds me of today's Michael Bradley. But he's not afraid of a tackle.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, I really liked what I saw from him preseason. In the two preseason games that I saw, the ODU and the High Point.
Yeah.
High Point was the one in the fog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, between those two games, he really showed a lot of composure in the midfield.
We didn't get a chance to see the Virginia United preseason game because it was Courtney's birthday.
Yeah.
And our wife was like, y'all gonna do what now?
Yeah, no. Wife comes first. Happy wife, happy life, right?
Yeah, right. I love you. So yeah, that's pretty much every new player that signed with the kicker so far. I mean, how do you feel? Let's go on and talk about how do you feel about preseason? How was everything there?
Preseason actually, and listening to the people that attended the preseason games, preseason brought a lot of anticipation. Exciting anticipation for the season. The players are playing very fast. The ball is going from defense to attack very quickly, but not in a counter-attacking style, which is very exciting to watch. A lot of these players have shown that they have very, very good individual ability, and I think Darren is doing a decent job of taking all of those pieces and putting them together for this system. After the ODU game, I had a brief talk with him, and he's not fully satisfied yet, which to me is a good sign. You know, he's not fully satisfied. He didn't tell me, oh yeah, we're doing pretty good. He said, we're not there yet. We're not quite there yet. And just the fact that he has the honesty to tell me that, to say that, look, what you saw today, that's not what I want. I want more. And that's what the Kickers need. I mean, that's what we need more. We need to get to that next level.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it. I think preseason was good. I think it's been a while since we had a positive preseason. Mm-hmm. I think the last two have been kind of like, eh. They haven't been great. They haven't been bad, but they haven't been great. This one, I think I've heard a lot of the same themes coming out of Kickers camp and from Kickers fans of people saying like, hey, I see what the team is trying to do. I see them trying to press up the field more. You know, we still don't know who's going to be the starting 11. If we had to guess, we had no idea. I mean, mm-hmm. we can kind of have a good idea now, but it was better to see the team sit further up the field, things like that, apply more pressure. It wasn't the lethargic just passing the ball back and forth,
yeah.
kind of just possession for possession's sake, trying to play out of the back stuff. It was more of, once you get the ball, go. Yeah. Take advantage.
Someone make a run. Someone pull someone out of position. Open up some space and let's get in there.
Yeah. And we already kind of touched on how do we think the team's going to perform this year. We both think it's going to be a high press. There will be more goals scored, but all about how those goals are scored, we don't know yet. Because I think most of the concerns that I've heard from people about the Kickers team that we've both been getting asked is, who's the striker?
I mean, at this point, I think Stanley Alves is going to be our striker with Emiliano sitting right behind him.
Yeah.
When he's healthy, I can see Mwape being more of a right wing type player. I mean, I'm still not sure what formation Darren is going for. From what I saw of the preseason games, I'm still not quite sure exactly what he's trying to go for. But if he's going for your conventional 4-3-3, I would say Stanley up top and Emiliano playing the 10. Playing the 10 behind him as the top of that midfield 3. I'd say maybe Mumbai as the 6. And
you know who we forgot to add? Jonathan Bolognese.
Oh.
Yeah, we've got all about him. Sorry, John. I just thought about that.
Yeah, I was like, that was another guy we saw out there.
Yeah, he's another one
we saw. He was the one who made that pass in the game against ODU where that ball came to him. It literally took it off his chest and just put it into space. And Ian just...
He's midfielder, but I can see more attacking mid.
Yeah, attacking mid or... Yeah, no, attacking mid.
Yeah,
I see. I would see him as an attacking mid. Maybe going in for Emiliano occasionally. Or if Darren wants to play with a front two, maybe have Emiliano and Stanley as your front two and him playing in behind.
I think so. Alright. So realistic goals for certain players and the team. Realistic. We're not gonna just go out and say we're winning the championship, we're going undefeated. No, we're not going that far. So what's yours? You can give me two player specific, realistic goals, and then team. Yeah, we'll do that like
realistic
that.
Goals, I can see Kyle Venter being a regular on Team of the Week.
Okay.
I can see him being a regular this season. I don't know where his fitness and health is now, but I can see some really nice balls coming. A lot of good balls coming in from Scott Thompson.
Scotty too hottie.
I mean, when he comes down that side, that wing, I know a lot of times he'll be playing more as a fullback.
Yeah.
But, of course, I can see that we like the overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
He can send in a deadly cross. He can send in a mean cross.
He can.
We got to see one that, you know, front row.
He did.
Front row against ODU. This is a beautiful one.
He did see it in the mean one. And what's your team one?
The team, I can see us easily, if this team continues the way they are, we can easily make playoffs. We can easily make playoffs. Top four, definitely. I never like to say we can win the league because, especially with playoffs, you never know what can happen. in the playoffs because it's one and done. You win or go home. And throughout the season, if you win a game, if you lose a game, there's always the next game where you can get points from. But a playoff system.
All right, so let me ask you this. Day, playoffs. Do you expect playoffs this year, or are you
kind of just... I definitely expect playoffs this year.
Okay.
With the way the team is looking, I can see playoffs this year.
Okay. All right. For me, my bad. I'm not coughing because I'm sick or anything. I just haven't drank any water during this podcast. We're going like an hour and a half in. My throat's like, hey, dude, you might need to get some water soon. Player specific, Emiliano will prove the doubters wrong. I'm going for...
Wait, what do you mean, the doubters?
So there's some people out there, I'm not going to name them, because, you know, there's some people out there that think Emiliano is going to be bust material. They don't think he's going to live up to the hype.
Hmm. Have they been to any of the preseason games?
No. Wow. But for me, I expect a 10 to 15 year. I think he will have 10 goals, 5 assists, and two of those goals will be goal of the week contenders. Two of them I expect to be goal of the week.
I can see that.
They won't win. Because if forward scores a tap-in, it's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still pissed how Joey Gallardo's goal, the best he has goal, did not get in the goal of the year or goal of the week competition. But a tap-in...
It should have been goal. It should have definitely been in the conversation for goal.
But a tap-in one. How, Sway? You don't have the answers. That's not a way. That still irritates me to this day. And I will go to the league office and petition that. There's no way. My other player's specific goal is Stanley Alves will not be with the Richmond Kickers next year because... he will be with the USL Championship next year. I think, and this is just me, he has really good ability. And if he gets clicking right and clicking good.
We're not going to be able to hold on to him.
Yeah, and I think we flip him big time.
I think he's going to be this year's guy. Yeah,
I think, I won't even say guy. I can see, and not saying that he is like Ricardo Pepe. I'm not saying that, but what we saw in preseason, granted, it's preseason. You know, we're all kind of hyped. It's preseason. We haven't seen soccer in a while. We're all deprived. Mm-hmm. But from what we saw, I was like, yo, if he gets in the right situations, then Emiliano gets him on the end of those passes, and he gets in the end of those crosses that's coming in the box. He's a fox in the box kind of striker.
Yes, he is.
And he could get a lot of goals just from that. And it would not surprise me if he has like a double digit goals. I don't really see a lot of assists from him.
Yeah, no, not really. Maybe one or two.
Yeah.
But if he gets dragged out wide, he can put a cross in.
Yeah.
But
I think if he starts regularly, this is all dependent on if he starts regularly. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that. If he starts regularly and he gets those goals, I think we'll flip him big.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one year and gone type of guy.
And team specific, I expect a home playoff game. I think that's what the whole premise of everything we've been hearing. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a failure to get into that sixth playoff spot. Well, let me not say a failure, because that sixth playoff spot can go one or two ways where you have that sixth spot is so locked up, it can happen that way. But I don't want to just squeak. Okay, now I got my thoughts straight. We can't squeak into the playoffs. Like, you can't be...
It's got to be a sure thing.
Yeah. I don't want it to be... For this year to be a successful year to me, I don't want it to be a... We got into the playoffs on the last day on goal differential.
Yeah.
I want it to be... We got into the playoffs because of
this. We knew by August that we were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Or early September. My fault that I'm coughing so much. My throat is just really dry. So I think it's one of those things. And for me this year, I'm going to answer this question. What do you think the team identity will be? Like, what do you think we'll hang our hat on this year? I think it will be defensive high pressure.
Defensive high pressure. Yeah.
I think basically.
That's basically what we're going to be looking like. Exciting defensive high pressure. try and score as many goals as possible.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the kickers.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel that that's what the kickers need now. At this point in time, we need an exciting product. I feel that with the way things went last year, with how I basically can say that every team in USL League One was kind of, it was a new game for everybody, and it was sink or swim. Some swam, some sunk. And
yeah, I feel like we were that ship that was like, hey, we have a hole, let's try to plug it. But then someone was like, eh. Let's see what happens. let's try it.
Let's try it without plugging the hole. But yeah. No. it's a really, it would be a really good thing if we can come out high goal scoring team, a team that's gonna just, you know, we're gonna have a goal that's a contender of goal of the week every week, you know.
And I think also, like, us having the ability to win games at home.
Yeah.
And winning games, like, not just being okay. I think we are going to have those 1-0 games. I think we're going to have a lot of those this year.
Yeah, we're going to have. I mean, this league is primed for that.
But I think the team is better, more balanced. I think there's more depth.
Yeah.
I don't think we're running into the issue where Ivan is our only defender.
Yeah.
At one point.
Exactly.
I don't think we're running into that.
Yeah, so with center backs, we've got Akwe, Shinosuke,
yeah, Kyle. You got a few.
Ivan.
A few. And it's weird because we were even talking about, like, where does Connor go now? Like, because Connor doesn't start. I mean, unless granted, that's kind of easier because now, at the time of recording, Connor was injured.
Yeah.
But it kind of lets you, we kind of now, we're trying to figure out, like, all right, who goes here, who goes there. I think center back is the harder one to figure out. Striker kind of talks for himself. Midfield kind of talks for himself. Left and right mid fullback kind of talks for himself. So,
well, I don't know about that because in terms of fullback, you've got
Thompson. We know who's going to be where.
Yeah,
like if you ask for our day one starters right now, I feel like me and you would at least have nine out of 11 the same.
Yes,
we might differ on like two. Maybe we'll put that on social media and see what people think.
Oh, and by the way, I do feel that with Kyle being in there, I can see Akira again being a finalist for Keeper of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
I can see Akira definitely being a finalist because I think one of the biggest issues that caused him to concede a lot of goals was the defensive presence in the box. Don't get me wrong, Akwe and Shinovsky did a fantastic job, but you can only ask so much of those two when we're getting bombarded.
Yeah.
You know? And when crosses are coming in for like 7, 8, 9 crosses in the span of like 5 minutes, they're going to let some slip. But I think now with the team set up the way it is, it's going to be hard to break us down, hard to beat us. And then when you have those odd, you know, fantastic shots, Akira always comes good for those.
Yeah, so. True. That's it for me. We were going to do over under, but I think we'll save that for a later time. Because I think right now we're both like reaching the peak of rambleness in the podcast. So, with that being said, this episode of River City 93 is brought to you by Roughnecks Cars and Icarus FC. We want to thank them for Roughnecks Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS and USL and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And, Shanair, Richmond Kickers got new jerseys, but you always like a new jersey, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got the perfect solution for you, my man. If you're tired of the same old uniform and cookie-cutter templates, Chattanooga Red Wolves, from Nike and Adidas, look for unique and completely custom kits for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team. Chattanooga! Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help design your new kit at IcarusFC.com. So, this is Elliot.
This is Shaneer.
Like I said, Tuesday we have the interview with Ira Jersey coming out. We're also going to be doing some look backs into classic Kickers games since we don't have new Kickers games to watch for the foreseeable future. So,
let us know.
If you have a Kickers game you want us to watch that you're like, yo, I want to hear, we might possibly do a truck pod. Nah. We might have crack a beer during a game or two.
Yeah.
With some hot wings. We might do it. Let us know. We love interacting with you guys. As always, hit us up on our social medias at RiverCity93, Instagram, Twitter. I think Instagram, we're trying to crack 200. Twitter, we're trying to crack 400. Remember, like, share, and review. Subscribe on your favorite podcatcher app. And with that being said, keep us on the good side. And always, wash your hands, wash your butts.